Welcome to the Roto World Basketball Show. In today's episode, we're going to cover top priority pickups, who to drop, and keep an eye on as we inch closer to playoff basketball season. Dan Titus of Yahoo Sports and Raphael Johnson, NBC Sports, join myself, Vaughn Delazelle, for another fun episode. And guys, we've got a lot of headlines today to talk about. Guys come back from injuries, players getting injured after the All-Star break. But Dan, let's start with Max Strus's half-court game winner. And you give us what's your best shot of your life, whether that was a game winner or half-quarter that nobody saw.
Man, that last final 4 minutes was absolutely crazy, man. Like, Max Strus just couldn't miss, didn't touch the rim. Some fortunate, you know, things fell into their favor, but like, I mean, to that shot and just to wet that from 59 feet was just awesome to watch, man. That was a hell of a game. My best, did I even hit it? I don't think I ever even hit a game winner, man. Like, I think I had a couple like nice games here and there, but like never got the ball in the final moments to shush the crowd or have any one of those like walk-off moments.
Yeah, I wouldn't even bore you guys with my top, like, actually in-game basketball moment because it was actually against a girl in eighth grade, so definitely doesn't count. Even though she went on to go D1.
My
best basketball shot. Yeah. Raphael, yeah. I know you're a paint guy. I know you're all about the hooks, you know what I'm saying, the fundamentals probably. But there was one time I hit a full-court shot at my brothers, and nobody saw it besides them, but it happened. So that's my best shot ever. What's yours?
I've got a few half quarters, like just fooling around. No, like end of game shots, maybe like an end of quarter, or end of half. I was able to knock some shots down, but nothing major. We actually played like we were able to play like all over the floor, so I wasn't just in the post as a kid. It was cool. Like we ran like the motion offense, so you're able to do a little bit of everything. And that was far more enjoyable than just, you know, come here and set a pick for me so I can go score. It's like,
yeah,
I don't want to do that. That's pretty much why I don't play rec league ball at this point in my life. So I'm not going to just do that. That's boring. So, but yeah, like as Dan said, Max was on fire. Like he hit 4 3-pointers in like a 67-second span down the stretch there. Then the last one, give Evan Mobley credit too for having the presence of mind to give the ball back. Because we've seen so many times where guys would just turn and throw the ball towards the basket with no chance of making it. But he understood that 2.6 seconds is a long time. Obviously, it's not a long time, but you have more time than you think you have. So for him to pull that off was great. And half joking, half not, Max Strus is probably the best thing that's happened to DePaul basketball in like 2 decades. So. Good for him and good for them to get that, you know, be able to retweet that highlight, you know.
Yeah, I think DePaul basketball has now been underdogs of 20 straight points in 2 games. So, yeah, they're definitely not that good anymore. But Max Strus, I mean, yeah, that was incredible. I love the addition to the bench, going out and getting him. I think he's been a big help for them overall. And I hope we get to see some more circus shots tonight because – Dallas obviously lost that game, but they're playing Toronto tonight. It's Luka Doncic's 25th birthday. So you already know I locked in that little triple-double bet. But on the fantasy side, Raphael, we're going to talk about Derek Lively Jr. and then your YMCA comparison, Daniel Gafford. Dan said that, not me. What do you think of those two moving
That's
forward?
That's a love threat, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm concerned about Gafford. He only played 7 minutes last night. Now, Maxi Kleba is doubtful for Wednesday's game. So it's possible that more minutes will become available. But what happens when Kleba's healthy? You know, so that I think I would be concerned there. Lively's still starting, but his production has decreased some since he returned from the broken nose. So I think Gafford and Lively are both watchlist guys for me right now. If you have them, don't make a rash move right away, but you really want to track the minutes, especially for Gafford these next few games.
Yeah, Dan, what's your opinion on the situation? Because both these guys are probably people that have been eyeing them up or had them on the roster and thinking they could help in the last few weeks of the fantasy season.
If you need blocks, I think it makes sense to try to hold one or the two, but like you got to pick or choose. And at this point, I think you got to ride with Lively because he's the one that's starting. But I am concerned just from the production standpoint outside of blocks, because both these guys are going to cannibalize each other going forward. And then you add in the Maxi Kleba when he's healthy. it's just not something I'm excited about, especially in 12-team leagues. And I think in points leagues, you can drop them both because they don't score enough and they're not doing enough outside of the blocks to really warrant holding. So I'd move on. I think it's safe to say. And if one of them gets injured, be ready to pick them up. But yeah, at this point, if they're both healthy-ish, they're gonna continue to eat into each other's minutes.
Yeah, no, that's good advice. We were definitely excited about the addition of Daniel Gafford, just from a team perspective, but also what he could do fantasy. So good advice from both you guys with that one. I don't know if you've noticed, but DeJounte Murray has put together three straight double-doubles in Atlanta. And obviously, Trae Young's been dealing with a finger injury. So, Rafael, is there anyone else that could be benefiting from Trae Young's absence?
In terms of guys who are already rostered in a lot of leagues, Jalen Johnson's one for me. He has the ability to serve as a secondary playmaker. He's done a good job of that with Trae out. So he's already, a top 40 player. I don't know if he can – if he has enough time to, threaten top 25 by season's end. But he's been very good in this four-week stretch with Trae Young sidelined. And that's only before he gets reevaluated. So it could be closer to five or even six. This could be huge for Jalen Johnson's fantasy value for the rest of the season. Guys who may be available, I think DeAndre Hunter is someone who may benefit. He's coming off the bench, but more minutes should be available to him. Obviously, Onyeka Okongwu also being out, we've seen Johnson be used at the five on occasion. So that's another avenue for Hunter to get some more minutes. So I think those are the two guys I'm kind of focused on right now.
Yeah, depth is getting kind of thin, especially at the guard position. We got Garrison Matthews, Kobe Bufkin, and Patty Mills for the Hawks. So it's getting thin there. So a guy like Jalen Johnson, it's good advice to pick up. Dan, what are you thinking about the Hawks situation? Would you be looking at Hunter as well and Johnson?
Yeah. I think Raf hit on both. You know, Jalen Johnson, I think, is probably one of the better league-winning type players that you have this year. I mean, just exceeding expectations. And now that he can be used as more of a playmaking forward, I mean, that's just even more raises his floor or ceiling, I should say. DeAndre Hunter is a guy that's 52% rostered right now. So he's probably available for shallow leagues. So I would definitely make a move. He scored 20 points in four of his last five, rebounding better, hitting threes. He's efficient now. So I think this is a good opportunity for him. So I echo what Raf said there. The one watch list guy that I have, though, is Kobe Bufkin. Like, I feel like at some point, they're going to want to see what he can do. He didn't play a lot of minutes in his first game when Trae was out, but he did play 20 last game. So I think that that's something that we might see going forward, is that he can play those backup point guard minutes to DeJounte Murray. I don't know if he's going to be a 12-team ad, but definitely somebody I'm curious about at least.
Yeah, the Hawks, they're sitting 26 and 32, the 10th spot. I mean, the Bulls just lost to the Pistons, which we'll talk about. But both those teams – certainly aren't looking that great when it comes to making the play-in. So, yeah, Bufkin could definitely get some time down the stretch. Speaking of, you talking about three-pointers being made, you got to see Chris Paul made three of them. It was against the Wizards, though. But that's how all of his points came, is from a three-point land. Six assists, four rebounds, four steals in 22 minutes. It was fun to see Jordan Poole also play against Golden State, 5 of 17 from the field. But, Dan, I'll start with you on this one. What's the fantasy situation in Golden State now with CP3 back in the mix?
So CP3 was a 85th in per game value before getting hurt. So I feel like he's going to still sustain that range in terms of his fantasy production. Don't expect much of him from scoring. Like the threes, that was just like a really good hot shooting game for him. He's shooting one of his worst seasons, in fact. So, you know, he's like in the mid low 40s this year. So I wouldn't rely on him as a scorer, but from assists and steals, like he could still provide value in 20 to 25 minutes per night. And the way that this Warriors team is playing now with Klay coming off the bench, that's a very different look for the second unit. And I think that it's going to work for them going forward. So Brandon Podziemski is a person that I'm really monitoring, like how are those minutes going to affect Chris Paul minutes going to affect him, and will Chris Paul be the closer in certain situations? So I'd be okay with holding on to him for now in 12 teams. 10 teams, not that excited, but for sure he can help you in assists and steals for now.
Yeah, and the Warriors are definitely streaking too. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, so they're starting to play like the right type of basketball. And that move to the bench for Klay was probably a big help in that. Rafael, what's your opinion on Golden State? Who are you picking up?
I kind of take a wait and see approach because they were without Andrew Wiggins on Tuesday, personal reasons. So you had Moses Moody in the starting lineup. Chris Paul is basically able to absorb the minutes that were going to Lester Quinones. So I don't really think there's much of a fantasy impact there. I think once Wiggins returns, Podziemski, is probably the main. I agree with Dan there. He used to be the one that I would watch just to see what his minutes are. He's still playing high 20s, low 30s. If he gets down to like mid early, low to mid 20s, that's when you're really concerned about fantasy potential. Maybe that happens come playoff time. And I think if it's at that point, I mean, actual playoff time, it wouldn't really matter for fantasy, but I think his minutes are worth monitoring, especially once they get Wiggins back.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that one. And I wanted to get your guys' opinion because there's been a lot of movement in Miami over the past few days, whether it's been suspensions or injuries. And I felt like Heat a couple nights ago was against Sacramento. They were going to beat them, even though they were underdogs. They did do that. They came out against Portland, fell behind early with a healthier team, and came back and beat the Trailblazers. So I wanted to, we're going to talk about a little bit on the Trailblazers side, but first on Miami side, Dan. They're back to full strength. They're starting to get there. Over the next week or two, who are you looking to add?
Now that they're healthy, man, I feel like it's kind of hard. I think you can drop Duncan Robinson anytime Jimmy Butler's back. But, like, I think Jaime Jaquez is the guy that I'm most watching. He's under 50% rostered right now, and he's a great streamer whenever one of those big players misses time. But now that you figure you have Terry Rozier back, Tyler Hero's probably going to be coming back soon. There's just going to be a lot of mouths to feed. So I don't know how Jaime Jaquez is going to fit in there if he's not seeing, you know, a consistent 25 minutes off the bench. But he's still going to be in the rotation. But he's definitely the person that I'm eyeing the most in terms of, like, where their long season, rest of season value could look, especially down the stretch, even though the Heat are – I mean, they're surging right now, and this is a scary team that you don't want to see. You know, them ever as an underdog is scary, man. And just the way they've been playing, that game against the Sacramento Kings was awesome. Jaime Jaquez just put on a clinic against everybody on the Kings. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's the most player that I'm excited about. But given all of the mouths to feed, I feel like you got to temper expectations, at least in the short term, until we get into silly season, which is in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I absolutely love the performance for the Heat a few nights ago. I was watching it with a friend, and he was looking to do some DFS or betting. And I said, oh, you got to go with Jaime Jaquez, Haywood Smith. I said, Haywood Highsmith, and then DeLon Wright. And there was like, what are we talking about here? I said, I'm telling you, man, these are the guys. But it was a good performance overall from the bench. It shows you how deep Miami is, Rafael. Yeah. So there is probably guys like Duncan Robinson, as Dan said, you could drop because – he's just strictly going to be a scorer, and now his role's cut a little bit. So who are you looking at?
I would actually hold on to Duncan until Hero returns because they're going to need his three-point shooting. He hit four threes in Portland on Tuesday. You know, I think he's been able to do a little bit more in terms of the other aspects of his game. But to Dan's point, you have Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier out there. There's only so much he can do in terms of playmaking. Like the 11 assists he had against Sacramento, that's not going to happen again, you know, but so I think if anything, if you have the need for three-pointers still, you maybe hold on to them for a few more games, but I think start of week 19 is probably going to be where you're looking to drop Duncan Robinson.
I'm always amazed that Duncan Robinson doesn't get more assists the way he comes around the threes and everyone jumps at him. You know, he could just slip it right down to the center almost every time, but he's just so wet from three. We had to make fun of Rafael another time because I knew we weren't getting out of this episode. The first promo without talking about Duop Reef since DeAndre Ayton got hurt the other night. So, Rafael, is it time? Is he the guy?
I believe so. You know, they called it a sprained right hand for DeAndre Ayton. Like, if you saw the injury happen, I'm shocked that there wasn't a more serious injury with either him or Kevin Love, who attempted to take the charge in that play. But he wasn't even on the bench to start the third quarter, and he was supposedly questionable to return. So it's like, just tell us at halftime he's not coming back. You know, obviously he was ruled out, but we'll see what happens with, like, the imaging on that hand because Portland really doesn't have an incentive to put him out there anytime soon. They're well off the pace for a play-in spot. They're basically playing out the string. Got a lot of other guys injured. Scoot Henderson's going to be out for their road trip that's coming up here. Malcolm Brogdon's out. Shaedon Sharpe pretty much done for the year, if I'm not mistaken. So it's like Duop Reef, Jabari Walker, I think those two are going to be the guys that people rush to add if Ayton is out for an extended time. I would also watch Tumani Kamara. He doesn't play the same position, but 17 and 10 rebounds last night, and he's starting. So I think he's someone else for the silly season that you want to have on your radar.
Yeah, absolutely love that call too. I've been seeing him get more and more minutes, and I feel like he's an all-around player that could, you know, just see what he's got with Portland down the stretch, Dan. And I think the goal for the Trailblazers is not finish last in the Western Conference and not have a worse record than the Pistons, which is looks safe, 5.5 games up. But Duop Reith season, yes?
Yeah, I'm with it. And he's only 3% rostered, so like you're going to be jumping ahead of the curve if you pick up Duop Reith. Like I don't. The imaging came back, at least the x-rays came back negative on Eaton, but they said that they're going to get more imaging. So I don't know what the end result of that's going to be. But the fact is, with their record and Eaton's commitment this season, which has been inconsistent, why are they going to play him when they don't have to, right? And so at this point, if you look at the numbers, man, in the 11 starts that Duop Reith got, he's averaging 12-7. He stretches the floor. He can get blocks. So to me, I feel like he makes a lot of sense for fantasy managers, especially as we're getting closer to the playoffs. And then I'd also keep an eye on Jabari Walker and Tumani Kamara also. Great call.
Yeah, I feel like all those guys could be sprinkles of double-doubles here and there for Portland. They all give them points or rebounds. And, you know, joking about Portland's record and Dean Jordan's record, but also interesting, which we'll talk about a little later, is the Wizards being 9-49 now, the same record as the Detroit Pistons. Pretty wild that this has happened. But for everyone in Washington, the Nationals are back. So you don't have to worry about watching the Wizards much longer. Spring training is here, folks. So for those looking to get ahead on the upcoming MLB season, grab your Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide. It's loaded with comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft is a success. Visit NBCSports.com/draft guide. And don't forget to use code BASEBALL24. To get 10% off at checkout. You know who would have been a pretty good shortstop? Not me, but Tyrese Maxey, Dan. I think he could have stole a few bags, threw down a bunt or two. But anyways, on a basketball court, he's been pretty awesome lately. It's been fun to watch him. But there has been a little bit of a logjam at the guard position next to him. DFA Melton, Kyle Lowry now, Nicholas Batum. But Melton did leave with some back spasms. I feel him on that. Is there value now on Lowry or Batum moving forward, or should we look somewhere else?
Nah, man, I'm not with this current formula of Sixers basketball. And it's I get they are trying to make moves at the deadline. It seems like they substituted all of their wing depth for like guard depth, and it just hasn't gone well. And so I'm not in on D'Anthony Melton now that he hurt his back again. I'm definitely not interested. Kelly Oubre is a drop candidate for me. He's not really doing anything. And Kyle Lowry, nah, like he's not a fantasy player right now. So like I just, at this point, the only must roster Sixers for me are Tyrese Maxey, Buddy Hield, and Paul Reed. And he's going to be pretty volatile. I mean, just the foul trouble that he gets in and just the inconsistency. Like I don't, he'd be a player, like if he went off next game, I'd probably be looking to sell.
Yeah, totally understood. I want to ask you too, because obviously being a Sixers fan, you're going to be, you're going to be honest about your team and look at it from a reality perspective and not be a little, you know, fantasy about where the Sixers are headed now. But there's only a half game that separates the fifth through the eighth spot in the East. It's the Heat, the Sixers, the Magic, and the Pacers. Do you think the Sixers finish in the top six, or they're going to be in the play-in?
Bro, they need Joel Embiid back. Like, this team is not the same. And I failed to mention Tobias Harris obviously needs to be rostered too, but he's been playing horrible. So, like, I don't even want him on my team. He's another person that if he went off, I would sell him. Realistically, though, like, I feel like the Pacers are going to get better. They're still adjusting now that they have Pascal Siakam. That was a good real-life basketball move. So I think that they'll continue to rise. The Heat are scary. The Orlando Magic can win some games too. Like, I think the Sixers should be very concerned. Like, they could definitely find their way in the play-in if they don't right this ship somehow, some way. But they need JoJo back in the worst way. So it sounds like March, late March is a return possibility. That doesn't really help fantasy managers. So at this point, it's like Tyrese Maxey to the moon and everybody else kind of just fall in line.
I see what Joel Embiid's doing. He's going to chill on the couch, watch March Madness, and then he's going to come back ready to go. I see you, big fellow. I like that. But no, Miami Heat, Sixers, Magic, Pacers, out of those four teams, all three outside the Sixers have six or more wins in their last 10 games. And Rafael, I want your opinion on too, if you think the Sixers will finish in the top six, but also the Knicks are only 1.5 games up on them and they're 3-7 in the last 10. So what's up with your Knickerbockers, man?
Everybody's hurt. Like, there's no other, like, explanation for it. Like, you know, Julius Randle, they don't know. You know, he's making progress, but they still don't know if surgery is going to have to happen or what. OG Anunoby looking at another 2 to 3 weeks. Jalen Brunson sat out Wednesday's loss to the Pelicans with neck spasms. Isaiah Hartenstein was also out for injury management reasons. So you got a lot of guys being asked to do things that they probably aren't in their skill set when it comes to what makes the team most successful. And I think that's what's happened with Philly as well. Like, in theory, Tobias Harris becoming your second scorer should be good for him in fantasy. But I think it goes to show just how much gravity Joel Embiid has when he's on the floor. Those looks aren't as clean, and he's not the off-the-dribble creator that Tyrese Maxey is. So that's why his fantasy value has certainly struggled, slumped, I should say. So, you know, I think for both of those teams, you just hope you can kind of tread water and hold off these teams that are on rushing. But either way, I don't care what seed the Heat have. You don't want to play them in the playoffs. So, you know, at that point, it's just about matchups for the other teams. But, yeah, if you can avoid Miami in that 4-5 matchup, go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I think that probably is going to be the goal for the Knicks now. You know, we've been talking a lot of smack here or there on Milwaukee Bucks defense, but they're starting to look like they're right in the ship and get that 2 seed under position. So that's going to separate Milwaukee and New York in the 3 and 4 too. So that might be something New York looks forward to, whether they get healthy and then find their playoff positioning. Anybody you want to add to pick up in Philadelphia, Rafael, or did you just pretty much agree with Dan? There's not much to do.
There's no one to add. You're just looking to drop / trade people. Unless you have Tyrese Maxey, it's like you're just rolling with him, and hopefully you have a team there. You're going to be in the fantasy playoffs because they're going to need every point, 3-pointer, and assist that he can provide. Obviously, the steals as well. So, yeah, I'm with Dan. You're looking to move a couple of those guys. Others, you just free up a roster spot by dropping them.
All right. Well, let's head down on you.
Quick question for you guys. Really, really quick question. Getting Tyrese Maxey. I just got an offer. Tyrese Maxey, Daniel Gafford, and Derek Lively for Amen Thompson and Yusuf Nurkic. I have Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Turner already for my front court, and I just lost Trae Young. Do I get Tyrese Maxey in that? Knowing that I'm probably going to drop one of Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford.
Who are the bigs you're giving up again?
I'm giving up Nurkic.
Nurkic? I would do that.
And I still have Gobert, too.
I would do that.
Yeah, I think I got to do it, right?
I like that
too. Yeah. Because Maxey's probably going to win you. They can win you a league. Yeah. You get the best player, and like you said, you can free up roster space with those other two.
Yep. And that's a good. I feel like that's a good point to say, Raf. Being that this is trade season, you want to free up some roster spots for you. You're not going to be able to start all your guys, so you want to be flexible to be able to play defense and offense and get ahead of the curve on picking up people like Duop Reith. Like, I'm probably going to do that as soon as I drop Daniel Gafford.
I think that's really good advice. I'm trying to think of a reason not to take that, especially if Gobert. As our producer says, I would do that too if EFO Gobert. And I mean, that seems like a really good trade. Tyrese Maxey, one of the MVPs of fantasy season for most people, I'm sure. He's probably kept some people afloat with Joel Embiid out. Imagine if you stack those two players too. Maxey's even that more important to your fantasy team.
That's kind of funny. I actually do have Joel Embiid too.
There you go. Get him back. I mean, maybe just in the nick of time.
Better late than never.
That'd be nice. Very true. Let's go down I-95 South, guys. Go from Philly to DC, though. Let's talk about some heel injuries with your guy, Rafael, Bilal Coulibaly, and Donnie Avdija. I just had his name all messed up. It's okay. But it's not even about them. It's about Corey Kispert. Am I right? He's the guy to go pick up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think by now, deep league managers should be on the Corey Kispert bandwagon. Like, he's been one of the few consistently productive guys for them the last few weeks. I'm adding him because, you know, he's young enough to where he wouldn't be a shutdown possibility, and he still kind of has some things to prove. Like, Kyle Kuzma, I'd be a bit concerned about in terms of like a late season shutdown because they pretty much know that they like him. and they like his fit within their franchise, even though they're not very good, but they know what they have there. I think as we see some of these guards start to play more like a Johnny Davis or a Jared Butler, I think Kispert on the wing will be important because of his shooting ability, and he's able to do a bit more than just knock down three. So I think now would be a really good time to add Corey Kispert. You probably hold on to him even after those guys are cleared to return.
Yeah, I'm not sure Johnny Davis is going to be a guy this year that everyone's going to be adding, but I certainly think he's a very interesting prospect.
I'm sorry. Is he the one that his form got kind of messed up or something?
Yeah.
His mechanics is just all off now?
Yeah, it's kind of like a Markelle Fultz version 2, like what happened with Markelle in Philly. I can't advise anyone to add Johnny Davis. No,
just saying, I like his talent and potential compared to where he was in college. We'll see what he becomes here. But, Dan, what's your opinion on Washington? Cause there's obviously a lot of guys getting minutes there.
Yeah, it sucks that Bilal Coulibaly is hurt right now because he's one of the players that I would say would probably have a really good opportunity towards the end of the season. So just continue to monitor that. He's more of a watch list guy for me. Corey Kispert's interesting because, like, stat wise, he's kind of like a Bojan Bogdanović in terms of he just gives you threes and points. And that's what I kind of want to see more of him. Definitely can help you now. Like, he'll give you, threes and the points, but I want to see more. In terms of production, he did have 3 rebounds and 5 dimes last game, which I think is a great sign. So if that's what we have to expect, if he gets more usage and there's more players out, that's a pretty good guy to pick up. And he's still under, 20% rostered right now. So if you want to get ahead of the curve, once again, these guys are I don't see Jordan Poole playing significant minutes down the stretch. Kyle Kuzma, same thing. So jump on getting Corey Kispert now before he's up to 30-40% rostered in a week or so.
Yeah, Jordan Poole didn't seem too excited about getting moved to the bench either. But, I mean, that's really where a 9-win team would be at this point in the season. So, can't be mad at it. But I like the pickup options that you guys give out in Washington. Think that's a team worth watching in fantasy. Maybe not as much on TV. But must-see TV this season, for the most part, has been the Minnesota Timberwolves. But Cat's out now. He's away with personal reasons. They also got Kyle Anderson. He's had some hamstring issues. So, he's down right now. And that's a team that was streaking, Raphael, but now the Thunder seem like they're going to win that division and be the one seed. If not, Denver will be the number 2 there. So what's your thoughts on the T-Wolves moving forward the next few weeks?
I think they'll be fine. Quick note, Cat will be back with the team for Wednesday's game. So they're all right there. He'll move back into the starting lineup, so there's no need to be too concerned about not having Kyle Anderson either. I think Naz Reid, I don't really think anything changes from a fantasy standpoint with them. It's just a matter of making sure everyone stays healthy. We watched Anthony Edwards roll his ankle pretty bad on Tuesday, but he was able to come back into the game and kind of take over late against the Spurs. But that would be my one concern for them. You've got 3 of the best teams in the NBA in the same division. They'll be 3 of the top 4 seeds in the West, I think. You look at Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and Denver. What that order is, we'll see. But yeah, I'm not too worried about Minnesota, to be honest with you.
Yeah, right now Minnesota does hold the number 1 spot, tied with the Thunder. Dan, do you have any concerns with the move forward? Is there anybody that you're looking at potentially adding or dropping?
No, I don't think so. I think I would just love to see what Naz Reid looks like in a non-backup role one time. Mm-hmm. So if this Carl Anthony Towns absence was anything longer, man, that dude would just cook, because every time he gets additional minutes, 30 plus minutes, man, he's absolutely outstanding. So nothing I would do in the short term. Minnesota's a really good team. They're right on the backs of Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobert, Mike Conley. And then they have these fringe guys that are also solid. So Kyle Anderson's not an ad for me. He's just having a down year compared to last year and doesn't have the opportunity that he had. So I think if you stick with the main stage, you're good, definitely, on Minnesota.
I would say this, and I want to get your guys' opinion, because Oklahoma City would probably be the most unlikely number 1 seed in the NBA playoffs since probably the Atlanta Hawks in 2014 when they led the league in wins. But if the T-Wolves or the Thunder get the number 1 overall seed and they face the Warriors or the Lakers in that first round because they get out of the play-in, do you think the 1 seed is going down, either of those 2 teams, T-Wolves or Thunder?
I'm gonna say no.
I don't. The Thunder Lakers matchup is interesting to me, but they both are kind of, I don't know, the Warriors and the Lakers both. You can't discount the veteran aspect of it, but like I feel like Minnesota, now that they have their solidified front line, like I don't think they're gonna lose. And the Thunder, SGA man, and their squad is just, they look so good last night. And if, damn it, if they would just get a big man, just get a big man on the market, man. Get in the buyout market, go grab a big man. Cause I think if they can get that, there's no chance that they're gonna lose.
Oh, they did. They signed Bismack Biyombo. Yeah,
that's how you get
it's a body. It's a body.
That's probably the best you're gonna do on this year's buyout market, to be honest with you. I understand what Sam Presti's doing. It's like, let's wait for that, not necessarily a sure thing, but like that, that large star quality acquisition you can make before you start dealing away some of those picks. But yeah, I think, I don't want to say the experience is overrated, but I think we may give it a little too much weight when it comes to discussing Oklahoma City and Minnesota. They've had experience, maybe not championship experience, but recently they've been in play-in tournaments, stuff like that. First round of playoffs for Minnesota. At what point is experience just you being old? When you look at Golden State and the Lakers, like seriously, as much experience as those teams have, at a certain point, Father Time plus a young, athletic, and energetic opponent will send you home, So I wouldn't be willing to write off either Oklahoma City or Minnesota right now.
Yeah, I feel like the Thunder's wings could just stifle Steph Curry. Like that, that's all you have to do to beat the Warriors, right? Stop Steph from getting 30, and you're probably going to be in a good spot, right?
Both teams have a lot of length too. I agree. I mean, when I look at OKC and Minnesota, I'm like, are these first or second round exit teams? Because I'm not sure they're Western Conference title teams yet. But then you watch them in the regular season, they're just so good and so much improved from last year. But if the NBA ended today, it would be Kings versus Lakers in the play-in, Mavericks versus Warriors. And if the Warriors and Lakers squeak by, that would certainly make it very interesting because people would be quick to pick those two teams to advance over teams without that experience. But if you watch the two, I think it's obvious that the Thunder and T-Wolves are probably destined for a second round exit, in my opinion.
Who do you like in the Western Conference right now, Vaughn?
In the West, I still think I'm going to be honest, I'm starting to convert to the Clippers and believing that this team could actually do something. The Suns, I think the fact that they went out and got some depth at the deadline improved them a lot in their second half of the schedule is not tough whatsoever. So that's a team that could get hot at the right time. And of course, we have to give respect to the Nuggets. I'm never a person to put my money or my mouth on someone going back to back in sports. So the fact the Nuggets being a Western Conference champ, I'm not rushing to that window at all. But I'm starting to like the Clippers and the Suns a lot, to be honest.
Interesting. Yeah, I think those are the most intriguing ones if they can stay healthy. And we'll see when Bradley Beal comes back. But yeah, I think the Royce O'Neal move was just a great move at the deadline, man. It's already showing out right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he had a double-double in his last game at 20 points or something. But certainly what they needed off the bench. But, I mean, picking the Suns and the Clippers to, advance in the Western Conference will probably have me looking silly. Silly season coming early or coming late. But we'll see. We'll see. At least I didn't pick the Detroit Pistons to do much of anything. But I did want to talk to you guys about them before we hit our next break because Isaiah Stewart, he came back. Rafael, I know you're a big centers guy. So let's talk about him and Simon Fontecchio because Fontecchio has been really good in his first 10 games with the Pistons, averaging 15 points, 48% from the field, and 42% from three.
Yeah, Beef Stew is back after his three-game suspension. Played 34 minutes in Chicago, so obviously, I think if you have him rostered, you're certainly encouraged by the workload there. As for Simone Fontecchio, he played 21 minutes off the bench. So that is a concern compared to what he was playing as a starter. But he shot the ball well. I think hit what, five? Yeah, 5 of 9 from three, 17 points. The rebounds, only three, weren't really enough to make like a dent in fantasy. But the points and three-pointers, And as we've said on many occasions, this is a team that is in dire need of spacing, you know, around Cade Cunningham. So Fontecchio may move to the bench, but he's not going to fall completely out of the rotation. I think if you have him rostered in deep leagues, I'd hold on to him for now. But he's not someone I'd rush out to add just because of the fact that he's been moved to the bench.
Yeah, he's definitely a sharpshooter. I mean, he's made at least 2 threes in every game as a Piston, at least 3 or more in the majority of them, Dan. So are you excited about Fontecchio, even though his minutes got cut? And what do you think about Beef Stew?
Yeah, and I'm not particularly excited about Fontecchio. I mean, yeah, he's a bucket off the bench. Definitely helps you with threes, but not, I don't expect he's going to do much more because, like, when you look at Monty Williams' track record with Beef Stew, when Isaiah Stewart's healthy, he plays, and he plays a lot of minutes. Like, he's their anchor on defense. He's been saying that since the beginning of the season. So if you have Isaiah Stewart, I think you got to ride with him until he gets hurt or something else happens. But, yeah, I think Fontecchio's going to continue to come off the bench. I am watching Quentin Grimes, though. I know Raf brought him up a while ago, but he was hurt. But now that he's already getting back in the rotation, I'm going to be see what how Monty Williams plays with Jaden Ivey's minutes. It's been inconsistent, and it's going to continue to probably be inconsistent. Yeah. But I think he can also play the three. So I don't know. Quentin Grimes is someone I'm definitely going to be watching as we get deeper into this late run season here. Because I think he could actually help the Pistons not only win some games, but he gives that, you know, that dynamic wing defense / 3-point game that he didn't really get to showcase too much in New York. That I think that's why Detroit wanted to get him at the deadline. So I wouldn't be surprised if he starts getting minutes in this rotation too.
The last thing I'm doing, Dan, is watching Jaden Ivey's minutes, because that's a math equation I don't think anybody could solve this season. It's been all over the place.
All over.
Yeah, but to be honest with you guys, I remember us having a conversation earlier in this year, pivoting to Brooklyn. We were talking about Mikal Bridges, and we were saying how what he did last year in his 27 games with the Nets probably wasn't reasonable to expect the same type of outcome. And I mean, Rafael, his points have dropped 5 points per game. He's shooting less free throws, less field goals. Free throw shooting went down 8%. So we didn't expect that much of a drop-off, I'd say, in 5 points per game. But certainly he's been a drop-off in fantasy, you'd say.
Yeah, it's been stunning. Like, I certainly think a lot of us knew that he would need a star next to him. They haven't been able to put that guy next to him. Cam Thomas, for all of his offensive explosiveness, he's not that guy at this stage in his career. We don't even need to talk about Ben Simmons in that regard. And now you're playing for an interim coach. You know, I don't know if Kevin Ollie's going to be able to, like, make anything happen with this group, especially when you're already off the page for a play-in spot, and they don't have the options. Thomas was hurt last night, so he didn't play. In Orlando, Simmons has been hurt. He didn't play. I don't know, man. I think you're interested to see what happens with the front office. Sean Marks has made 4 head coaching hires, and none of them have really panned out. You really going to let him make a 5th? You know, I think that's what I'm wondering here, and how that would impact, you know, Mikal Bridges in terms of the schemes that they play on both ends of the floor, because you can't go into next season with the idea that he can be the number one guy again. It's not going to work. As good of a player as he is, I don't think he's a number one. And if you're in fantasy, you need him to be a number two just to get another shot at, like, top 50 or better value.
Yeah, I certainly think there's a lot of work to be done in Brooklyn's roster. And they're just, like, a guy like Cam Thomas may be the reason why Bridges is taking fewer shot attempts or free throw attempts, because Cam Thomas isn't looking to pass anywhere. But the Brooklyn Nets roster in general, I mean, they were looking like they were going to be a play-in team, but 2-8 over the last 10 puts them tied with Toronto for the 11th spot, and the Raptors won 3 straight then. So they're starting to look a lot better, starting to find their rhythm at least. But Mikal Bridges, are you looking to sell him at all if you can, since you're the trade guy today?
If you can, I mean, I'd be down for it, because at this point, I just don't have any faith in Brooklyn. Outside of him, Nick Claxton, those are really the must roster guys for me. Like, Cam Thomas is too inconsistent for me to actually have him outside of points leagues. And Cam Johnson is just a shell of himself last year. Like, he's not efficient. His minutes are down. His minutes are down in February. His scoring's down. Like, he's like a drop candidate in 12 team leagues right now. So at this point, I just don't have much faith in, you know, whether Kevin Ollie won a natty or not doesn't change the fact that this roster just isn't constructed to win. And there's just way too much emphasis being put on Mikal Bridges to be the guy that he's not. And that's why we're seeing him struggle. So I think what Raf said was like completely spot on. And if he has a big game, I'd be looking to sell because you could still maybe get some name value there. So yeah, I would do it.
Yeah, no, I agree with both of those looks. I'm not excited about.
Do it after next week, though. So do it like Thursday because the
they have five games
next week. Yeah. So you may want to hold on to them until like Wednesday and then make a move right at the deadline.
Great advice. Yeah, I definitely think it's, if you haven't already, it'd probably be time to get rid of Bridges, but that's a good timetable to trade him. So I love that. And I guess Raphael's getting the last laugh on me. He's not letting me get off the hook without talking about the Bulls here, according to our rundown. So, I mean, obviously it was a sad day that we lost to the Pistons. I mean, on the Pistons, we're on a second night of a back-to-back and the Bulls have 2 days rest, but we won't get too deep into it. but today, Alex Caruso's birthday, he returned to make the Tuesday's loss. So he's back. Andre Drummond's a guy that you've been hitting on this year and saying you should probably be picking him up down the stretch. So what's the relevancy for both players down the home stretch?
I'm concerned about Caruso. Hamstring strain during the loss of the Pistons. He somehow was allowed to go back in during the fourth quarter. Look, we've spoken about hamstring injuries on multiple occasions on this show. You know the tricky nature of him. I have a hard time believing he's going to play on Wednesday against Cleveland. And if he did, I think that would be like malpractice on the part of the Bulls to let him play. There really isn't anyone to add there. I think if anything, you know, Andre Drummond, because of the matchup, especially with two bigs, he could be a starter in that spot. And he's played really well. I think he had a big night against the Pistons. And we've seen him play well alongside Vucevic. Now, Vuce has taken a bit of a hit. Hasn't been shooting the ball well lately. But I think Andre Drummond, as concerned I am about Caruso, I'm pretty excited about Drummond the rest of the season, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it seems like he's the guy that Chicago might keep around. But I'll be honest, Raphael, I don't know who's going to guard Jared Allen, Evan Mobley without Alex Caruso tonight, if that's the case. Because you already know he's going to be down there on the block. No, it's a joke because all Bulls fans know that no matter what, Alex Caruso is on a power forward or a center almost every possession. You're like, how and why does this keep happening? But he's a tough guy. He's a tough guy. I'll give him that. So if he does play tonight, kudos to him. Hopefully it's not too much. But Dan, what's your opinion on them? Do you share the same sentiment as Raphael on those two?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, you're seeing Caruso have to guard those power forwards because Pat Williams isn't out there and it doesn't look like he's going to be coming back soon. So, yeah, I think we're going to see more of these, you know, these two center lineups with Andre Drummond. Even if Drummond comes off the bench, man, he's their most productive bench player. It's not going to be Dalen Terry and some of these other guys. So I think Drummond right now, he's still available in 60% of Yahoo League. So if he's out there, I'll definitely scoop him up. You're going to get the points, the rebounds, and some stocks here and there. He's actually sneakily good at steals. Bit clumsy, probably more than a bit clumsy. He's very clumsy, but he'll at least produce for you. So if you're looking for a big, like, I would definitely scoop him up because he's going to get a lot of run down the stretch here. Because the Bulls just don't have a lot of players. Like, they're all hurt. Like, if it's not the Knicks, the Bulls are right behind them in terms of, like, just going through injuries right now. So hopefully Caruso is okay and he'll be able to get back in a couple games. But to Raf's point, I don't see the reasoning as to why you'd push him out there with a hamstring injury, especially given his injury history too.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of lower body injuries. But I was trying not to laugh there because you gave me a little bit of a flashback using the word clumsy. Not a word that you hear on a daily basis. But whenever I was doing a 2K draft over the weekend with a friend, he said, let's draft Joakim Noah. And I said, he was trying to draft him. He's like, yeah. He said his jump shot was kind of clumsy. And I said, that is a great definition of Joakim Noah's jump shot. But yeah, he was the man for a little bit in Chicago defensively. I will put it that way.
So, did you bet the Detroit Chicago game, especially after Detroit and Monty Williams press conference and getting hosed? Like, I feel like that was the Detroit spot. Like, they refused to lose that game after getting hosed.
Didn't see the press conference, which I wish I did. But the only money that I did put on the Bulls was a $10 six-teamer, and they were the only leg that lost. So I was pretty disappointed that when I was like watching the end of the game, I'm like, they're going to come back. They're going to come back. And then you just see, you know, Cade Cunningham continually balling on these guys.
Bro, they just couldn't make a shot down the stretch either, man. They just have no shot creators outside. Like, if DeMar DeRozan can't get a bucket, like, are you going to rely on a Nikola Vucevic fadeaway? Like, no, it's not working.
I mean, imagine spending $140 to go see the Bulls and Celtics play at TD Garden, and the Bulls play to win the game is a screen, then pass to Vucevic for three. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, I'm still sour about that. That was last year, by the way. But yeah, they just need more shot creators. I mean, I had to assume Kobe White, you're number two and three best shot creators on that team. That's an issue. That's a serious issue. But we got a lot to talk about here in the last 5 to 10 minutes, the rest of the week 18 schedule. But as a reminder, you can find all your favorite NBC sports shows on Amazon Music. Just head to amazon.com/NBC Sports. Still coming down from the flu, and I feel it. I feel it today. My Pittsburgh accent is catching up with me. But Dan, this is part of the show where you shine. We got a lot of teams that play three games. Most of the NBA is playing two games the rest of this week. What are you looking at as far as scheduling and free agents?
I'm not going to shine today. But I do like Bull Bull, man. I think it's time to pick them up.
Shining. Let's go.
We got to do
great start.
Now that I feel like he gives the Suns another dimension that they've been missing, and when you add in Royce O'Neal into that, like, I think this is going to work, and this is something that might stick with him playing 20 plus minutes, man. He's a permanent guy, and as long as he's in the rotation playing that way, like, he can give you, you know, the blocks are there, but like, I think he can actually give you a little bit of scoring, some threes. He's a dynamic, I mean, he's not Wemby by any means, but he has like that skill set if he can get minutes. So I would definitely be looking to add Bol Bol. As I mentioned before, the Nets have five games next week. So if you're going to give a shot for, you know, the Cam Johnsons and the Cam Thomases, I don't know if maybe you go Dennis Schroeder even. They do have some shelf life for that week. And then after that, I'd probably be looking elsewhere. The rest of the week, the Memphis Grizzlies have a good schedule. They still play on tonight and Saturday, which are the lighter slate. So, you know, if you're looking at Luke Kennard, if you're looking at trying to think of who else there in the trenches of Memphis. GG Jackson is a guy that's been kind of inconsistent that I think down the stretch we'll see him get better. So you're going to have to weather the storm a little bit, but I think GG Jackson is worth adding. If you don't want to do it now, do it in the next couple of weeks because he's going to be getting a lot of playing time. Other than that, I'll pass it to Raph and then I'll have some final thoughts.
Yeah, Kennard is out tonight, so he won't be available. Memphis, I don't really like anyone on that roster besides Vince Williams and Jaren Jackson Jr., to be honest with you. Lamar Stevens played well the other night, but I mean,
can't trust it.
Yeah, you can't really trust it. So I'd probably leave him alone. I think in terms of the rest of this week, I would Ben Mathurin in shallow leagues is someone I would consider. Aaron Nesmith has been out with a sprained ankle. I believe he's questionable for Wednesday's game against the Pelicans. If he remains out, you got Mathurin starting, and he's kind of taken to that role in terms of the scoring. Been a bit more versatile than he has been in the past during his first season plus in the NBA. So he's someone in shallow leagues I would consider streaming if Nesmith remains sidelined. And they have three more games to play this week. So that's another potential benefit there. Charlotte, Trey Mann, you know, three more games, but is bad. They were absolutely brutal in Milwaukee last night. So
that's awful.
Yeah, 26 points in the first half, and no. But they overall, they've played better since the trade deadline, but that was not a very good impression to make.
Yeah, I actually lied to you guys earlier. The Bulls weren't the only leg of that parlay I lost. I took the Hornets live team total under 82.5, and they scored 85. And I thought, wow, what a loser. The Hornets and Pistons burned me tonight.
85 points but, in the modern NBA, man. That's hard to do.
Honestly, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's whether it's impressive or just like very, very saddening, but both a little bit to both degrees. Yeah. But I do like the call there, Raphael, for Benedict Mathurin, because he was awesome. the other night, scoring a career high. I believe it was 34 points he ended up with. He might have finished with more than that. But I wanted to add, Dan, before you jump in, the Raptors, while they play Dallas tonight, they play Golden State, Charlotte, and New Orleans over the next four games. Toronto's had the fastest home pace since their trades. So they're playing number one in tempo at home. I feel like that's probably a good, pretty good team to be targeting, especially with Golden State, Charlotte, and New Orleans up after Dallas, too. All teams that like to play a little quicker.
No, you're exactly right. And I think one player that you could probably get is Kelly Olynyk. If Jakob Poeltl is going to be missing any time, like that's certainly someone I would be looking to add. But then also, might be Big Dick Energy season. Grady Dick, dude is on fire right now, man. Dude can't miss from three. He's shooting like 50, over 50% from three over the last nine games. So if you're looking for a scorer, and you know there's three games the rest of the week, man, I feel like Grady Dick could be a guy that you might want to stream.
He's definitely been playing more. Rafael, any opinions?
It's definitely great. Grady has been more productive recently. So, yeah, I think he's selling for the silly season. Even with Toronto looking to make a charge for a play-in spot, he would be someone to consider adding if you need points and three-pointers.
Yeah, I kind of think the Raptors are getting serious about making the play-in. I mean, they've won three straight games now. I think they could win at home tonight against the Mavericks, even though they're underdogs. So, a team like Atlanta and Chicago, who are kind of trending in the wrong direction at the right time, could probably get passed up by Toronto. So that's a little bit more of advice from me. But anything you guys want to add before we get out of here? Any shout outs to give?
One other player I'll throw out. Paul George has been ruled out tonight and seems to be having like a day to day thing. So Norman Powell is 42% rostered, so he's probably available. He's definitely a guy that's going to see more usage with Paul George out, so he's another guy that I would look at with the Clippers having three games to close out the week.
Yeah, I feel like Norman Powell's been a kind of a cold name, too, in the sixth man of the year market, but I feel like he's going to have the chance to heat up here over the next few weeks. Rafael, anything worth adding before we get out of here?
No, I think it's a good call on Powell. He was coming off the bench still whenever George or Leonard were out, but he started against Sacramento. So, yeah, getting those starters minutes will be big for him, I think, in terms of the production. So, yeah, good call on Norman.
All right. A lot of great advice today, as always, from Dan Titus of Yahoo Sports, Rafael Johnson, NBC Sports. Make sure you guys go follow them on X, and make sure you guys go check out all their work down the stretch of the fantasy basketball season. Things we learned today: you will not be catching Rafael at a local YMCA in the same jersey as other people, because he does not play organized hoops when they put him in the paint. So best of luck to everybody this week and down the stretch of fantasy basketball season. We'll see you next week.